Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 14, entitled Ideal Family Life. Text number 14. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Siddhair Yajna Vishishtyarthai. Siddhair Yajna Vishishtarthai. Kalpayad Vrittimatmanah. Kalpayad Vrittimatmanah. Se se sattvam tajam pragya. Se se sattvam tyajam pragya. Paravim mahatam iyat. Paravim mahatam iyat. Siddhayagna Vishastarthai. Kapayad Vrittim Atmanaha. Seshe Sattvam Rajang Pragya. Paravim Mahatang Ihat. Siddhayagna Vishastarthai. Kapayad Vrittimatmanaha. Sheshe Sattvam Rajang Pragya. Padaving Mahatang Iyat. Siddharyagna Vishishtarthai. Kalpayad Vrittimatmanaha. Jese Sattvam Rajang Pragya. Padaving Mahatam Yat. Se Dayayagna Vishishtartha. Kalpaya Pritimatmanaha. Seshe Sattvam Tyajam Pragya. Padavim Mahatam Iyat. Siddhai. Things obtained by the grace of the Lord. Yagna avishista artai. Things obtained after a sacrifice is offered to the Lord, or after the recommended panchasuna yagya is performed. Kalpayet, one should consider vritim, the means of livelihood, atmanaha, for the self, shese, at the end, swatam, so-called proprietorship over one's wife, children, home, business, and so on. Tyajan, giving up. Pragya, those who are wise. Padavim, the position. Mahatam, of the great personalities who are fully satisfied in spiritual consciousness. Iyat, should achieve. An intelligent person should be satisfied with eating prasad, food offered to the Lord, or with performing the five different kinds of yajna, panchashuna. By such activities, one can give up attachment for the body and so-called proprietorship with reference to the body. When one is able to do this, he's firmly fixed in the position of a Mahatma. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Nature already has an arrangement to feed us. By order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there is an arrangement for edibles for every living entity within the 8,400,000 forms of life. Eko bahunam, yo vidadati kamam. Every living entity has to eat something, and in fact, the necessities for his life have already been provided by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord has provided food for both the elephant and the ant. All living beings are living at the cost of the Supreme Lord. And therefore, one who is intelligent should not work very hard for material comforts. Rather, one should save his energy for advancing in Krishna consciousness. All created things in the sky, in the air, on land, in the sea, belong to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and every living being is provided with food. Therefore, one should not be very much anxious about economic development and unnecessarily waste time and energy with the risk of falling down in the cycle of birth and death. Om Agyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunaditam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachanam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripa Taraham Bande Sri Guru Dinataranam Paramananda Madhavam Sri Chaitanyeshwaram. So, this verse, spoken by Narada Muni to Maharaj Yudhisthira, in this chapter about ideal family life. So, it's mentioned here about yajna. why is yajna performed? It's certainly the focus in the Vedic literature is to perform yajna. It's also spoken about performance of yajna in Bhagavad Gita, many different verses, especially the third chapter talks about yajna. So by performance of yajna, a person gets the necessities of life. And in this particular verse, there's the Panch Shuna Yajna, which Prabhupada makes reference to in the Bhagavad Gita in a purport. He calls it the Panch Maha Yajna. This is required for a householder. We see that rain is explained in Bhagavad Gita, Anad Bhavati Bhutani Parjanyad and the Sambhavaha. By rain you get grains. Without rain, no grains. Right? And by performance of yajna, one gets rain. So people want to perform yajna so that they'll get rains. From rains they'll get grains. And by grains they can sustain themselves. Right? So that's the Vedic system. Dharma, Artha, and Kama. Performing religious acts. Yajna. Yajna is a religious performance. Right? Dharma. And from that Dharma, there's Artha. Artha means some obtaining some necessity, right? Some people describe it as wealth, artha. And anartha means unnecessary things, right? So artha means the necessity, something that's necessary. Food is a necessity. Shelter is a necessity. Clothing is a necessity. Right? Dharma, artha. And so that they can peacefully enjoy kama, sense gratification. If you don't have a roof over your head, or food, or clothing, how will you enjoy sense gratification? Right? But if you have all these things, if they're all taken care of nicely, then you can enjoy sense gratification. So dharma, artha, kama. But at the same time, we see the instructions from Krishna that although one is performing sacrifice in household life, and by the sacrifice, artha, there's the necessities of life are coming. And due to that, one can enjoy sense gratification, but one should not be attached. Right? So in order not to be attached, there's this performance of yajna. This Panch Maha Yajna, Panch Suna Yajna as it's described here. So this is required for householders to perform the yajna. That's referred to by Srila Jiva Goswami in his Satsandarbhas, that the householder has to perform this. And there's, because in household life there's inadvertent reactions in household life. And those are described also by Srila Jiva Goswami. It's almost like being a householder is like owning a slaughterhouse. It's like being in a slaughterhouse. Because when you sweep, you kill so many living entities. And when you even drink water or put it on the tap to fill the pot, you kill so many living entities. When you grind the spices, you kill so many living entities. Nowadays, you turn on the mixer, you kill so many living entities. Huh? You light the fire, kill so many. So there's reactions. Reactions. So in order to become free from the reactions, one has to perform yajna. Right? And those are described. There's the Brahma Yajna, the Deva Yajna, the Bhuta Yajna. Five yajnas are there. And there's a way that one has to perform those yajnas. This is required for every household. So the Brahmins, they do the yajnas themselves. And those who aren't Brahmins, they get a Brahmin to do the yajna. So in the old times, Brahmins were very busy. Right? Nowadays, no one does any yajna, so the Brahmins are without employment, so they have to become lawyers and engineers and so many other things. One interesting point here, Prabhupada says, an intelligent person should be satisfied with eating prasad, food offered to the Lord, or with performing the five different yajnas. Could have said and with, but he said or with, either or. Certainly that is the duty of a householder. Srila Prabhupada mentions many times to distribute prasadam. Right? And we read last time I gave class, one should treat animals such as deer, camels, asses, monkeys, mice, snakes, exactly one, like one's own son. So prasadam should be available in a householder's house. In order for it to be prasadam, it has to be cooked for the Lord and offered to the Lord. Right? Krishna says, what's the result of not eating food that's offered? It's like you're eating sin. Right? So, a proper householder, to avoid eating sin, has to cook food for the Lord and offer it to the Lord. This is the this is the way one should act so that one doesn't become attached to household life. Because we see the verses that one, if one acts by performance of yajna, if you do yajna, if you offer your food to the Supreme Lord, right? Then you'll be able to give up the attraction that's there for house, family members, right? One will perform one's duty as though one is, to the outside it'll look like this person's very attached, because one should perform one's duty. Krishna tells Arjuna, perform your duty. Don't neglect your duty. You should perform your duty and perform it properly, with great attention. Right? But don't be attached. People are busy building up these empires, right? Accumulating so much artha, wealth, right? I heard one day the income tax people found some person in Rajasthan with a lot of cash, black money, 13,000 crores they caught him with. Can you imagine? barque, barque. So accumulating all these things, but how to not become attached, right? So this is what's being described here in this verse. How to engage these things, but not feel oneself to be the proprietor. To give up the proprietorship. You have a right to perform your scribe duty, but you're not entitled to claim any right over the results of those activities, the fruits of those activities. Srila Prabhupada mentions, the Lord has made everything. Everything is owned by the Lord. And all the different species of life, they each have some food that is allotted by the Lord. There's 8,400,000 species of life. And they have all been allotted their food. Right? So there's certain kind of food for the animals, different kinds of animals. Some eat vegetables, you know. Some eat meat. The plants eat sunlight and water. That's their food, allotted food. So the Lord's made sufficient arrangement for everyone's food. Prabhupada says here that he's made arrangement for the elephant and for the ant. The elephant eats 80 kilos, and the ant eats one small morsel. But an arrangement is there. And everyone is actually dependent on the Lord for their edibles. Srila Prabhupada is saying that food doesn't come from the factory. Although they like to make us think that food comes from the factory because it comes in a box. It's airtight box. And you go over to Dhiraj's store and buy the box. And where did it come? It came from Britannia Biscuit Factory. They think, oh, food comes from the factory. Right? But no, food doesn't come from the factory. Right? In fact, most of the foods that are processed foods, you know, people are gradually understanding that these types of foods aren't really very healthy anyway. They're not healthy foods. Healthy foods are the foods that come fresh from the field and you cook them, right? You prepare them yourself. Healthy meals are meals that are prepared right at home and offered to Krishna. Of course, if you don't offer it, then it's not so healthy. Because ultimately, you know, if it's sinful, what happens? You suffer ultimately. So everything is coming from Krishna. In order for us to recognize that, we have to perform sacrifice. Right? And from that sacrifice, we get all the necessities. And that's there for us to ultimately understand that we're not the proprietor. We're dependent. We're dependent on the Supreme Lord. So by performing this yajna that householders must perform, the idea is that gradually they'll develop detachment. Of course, this is kind of the Prabhupada gives the example of a goldsmith and the blacksmith. Right? So the goldsmith, he has a little piece of gold that he's working with, and he has a small hammer, and he's tapping out the gold to form some jewelry or whatever it is. Right? But how does the blacksmith work? He puts a piece of iron in the fire, heats it up, it's really hot, and takes a big hammer and goes, ta! In one stroke, his job is done. Right? So, bhakti yoga is like the blacksmith with the big hammer. Right? And following carefully the prescriptions of Vedic culture is like working with the hammer. Because the power of hearing from the scriptures, it works just like a big hammer. To enlighten the living entity about what is the ultimate goal of life. Yes, generally, we see that mostly with their householders, right? 99.9% householders, right? Very few brahmacharis, very few sannyasis, right? And that is because that's why we're here in the material world. We're trying to enjoy separately from Krishna. Right? Right? We're in competition with Krishna. Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. Right? And the conditioned soul's thinking, well, I can also enjoy. This mentality, I can also enjoy, is reserved. It's a mentality that's reserved for the material world. The moment we think like that, we're in the material world. We're in the material atmosphere. Trying to compete with Krishna. Nobody can compete with Krishna, but the living entity tries. And ultimately, he only suffers. The living entity works very hard in an effort to enjoy. But the end result is the living entity is forced out of the empire that he has made. He's not able to stay there. Again to take birth. Right? Someone has a new baby and they're very happy. They put a picture on Facebook, see my new baby. Right? It's a time of happiness for the householder, isn't it? But the householder should realize how many fathers and mothers this baby has had. Huh? And you're in the line of only one. So many fathers, so many mothers. He had father and mother as a cat. He had father and mother as a dog. He had father and mother as a tree. And so many other maybe lifetimes as a human being. So now this soul has come into your womb. Has entered into your family. So what's my duty? What's my responsibility? Now that this spirit soul has come. Yes, all the family responsibilities are there. You're raising the child, you must look after and the development of the child materially. But not only materially. You're not just supposed to say, Hare Gugagaga, Hoo-da-da. That's there also. You know, that's a very important of a child's development when the parents talk baby talk to it. That helps the child develop by learning sounds. It's required. And the parents also love it. Right? So that's there. The material responsibilities are there to the so that the child can develop properly. But that's not the only thing. That's what Bhagavatam is trying to say. We have a much bigger responsibility in household life, and that is to see that this living entity that has entered into your house, we should be competent enough that we see that this living entity doesn't take birth again in this material world. So that's a big responsibility. That's not a small thing. And it's so imperative that Bhagavatam says, then don't become a parent. Don't become a guru unless you can see that your dependents are not going to take birth again in the material world. So that's a very tall order. It's a very big responsibility. Right? But at the same time, we see that this, especially in Kali Yuga, that the prescription for becoming free from the cycle of birth and death has been easily one can follow it. Easily one can take up the process in order to become perfect this human form of life. And that is through the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So if one uses one's time to nicely chant the holy name of the Lord, if one endeavors to perform yajna, specifically by offering food to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and taking that as Krishna prasadam, then one can easily progress. And everyone in the household can also progress in spiritual life and avoid running the risk of having to take birth again in the material world. Hare Krishna. Are there any comments or questions? Yes. Want to wait for the microphone? Microphone. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna Guruji, while doing services, attachment is like natural part, and after doing, after putting endeavor, accepting that fruit is also like natural part, then what is fault in that, accepting result and getting attached with the service?
Well, the fault is that it'll keep you here in the material world. Which you don't want to stay here in the material world, do you? Birth, death, old age, disease, pigeons flying over your head, ready to put doo-doo on your head any moment. It's not a nice place. Right? So if you work for something, there's bound to be some result. But we are not entitled to the result. We should leave the result to Krishna. And that will be very conducive for us to not become attached to this material world. It's not that we don't do our service. We don't perform our duty. Arjuna became confused. He thought not to be attached meant not to do your duty, to give up fighting. But Krishna explained to him, no, you must perform your duty, but not to be attached to the result. Leave that to me, Krishna said. Yes, we don't you know, you become a devotee. It's not that you give up work. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that without work you can't even maintain your body. You have to work. So you should work. You should perform your prescribed duty, but at the same time not be attached. And this is what's recommended by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. And the reason that we don't want to be attached is because if we're attached to the result, it's not conducive to going back to the spiritual world or being in spiritual consciousness. You can't be a Mahatma if you're attached. You have to be detached. Of course, the way to be attached, you have to be attached to something. But Krishna wants you to be attached to Him. He doesn't want you to be attached to some false thing. We get attached to false things, things that are temporary. You understand? Like you can, you know, you can see that a family's not going to last forever. You're working, you're earning money, it's described in the Bhagavatam, the material activities. You know, but when you get old, you can't work like that. You can't earn money like that. So the same people that were glorifying you because you were providing money and you were attached to that glorification, when you get old and you can't do it anymore, they don't care for you. So you become, it's like a suffering condition. Right? Who used to listen, they don't listen anymore. And so if you're attached to that fact, oh, just see, I'm earning, they're listening to me, I'm the, you know, the master of the family. If you're attached to that, then when it doesn't happen anymore, which it will, you suffer. But if you are never attached anyway, you are attached, you are doing your duty, right? Because Krishna said to do the duty. You are leaving the results to Krishna. Then when things change, you won't be disturbed because you'll be fixed in Krishna and Krishna's service. Does that make sense? Yes?
Hare Krishna. Guruji, in material world, there are results very fast for anything.
There are what?
Results for anything we want.
Results are there, yes.
Are very fast.
Good or bad?
So my mind is saying to look for Lord Krishna in material world only. So that I can get result fast.
Say it again, work for Krishna, you said?
In material world.
In a material world, yeah.
So in material world there are results are very fast. For anything.
Very fast.
Very fast.
Huh.
So my mind is saying that to look Lord Krishna in material world only.
Well,
so that I can get the result fast.
Well, there's different results. Some are fast and they're not so fast. We think that the results are very fast, but actually the results that we are experiencing in this life, they were actually the activities that brought about those results that we're experiencing in this life was from a previous life. So in your last life, we did so many sinful acts. In our last lives, we did some pious acts. So in this life, we're enjoying or suffering the reactions from the activities that we performed in our past life. So it's just now coming into fructification. It's fructifying. You understand? You put the seed in the ground. You give water. It takes time for it to grow up and eventually give us fruits. So it's not that, okay, I went to work, I got some paycheck, so pretty quick. But no, the fact that you have a job in a certain company and a certain thing, it was all due to the effects of your previous activities in a previous life. So it's not that it comes very quickly. It may take time. The activities that you're performing in this life, they'll bring about some result in the next life. Right? But it's not that all activities have to bring a result. And that's what Krishna is trying to explain in the Bhagavad Gita. If, yes, we perform our duties, but if we're not attached to the result, if we leave the result to Krishna, if we know that it's ultimately up to Krishna, and He should be the enjoyer, I'm doing this for His pleasure, then there's no reaction at all, materially, either pious or impious. And we may think, well, I want to get some pious results. Impious, everybody can understand, I don't want. But pious results I should get. Right? But no, for the devotee, they're not interested even in pious results. Because what is the result of pious results? Well, in your next life you may be born very wealthy, or intelligent, or beautiful, or you may even be born in the heavenly planets. But that's not pure devotional service. Pure devotional service means to be attached exclusively to Krishna and to be attracted by Krishna. Right? So the program is to hear about Krishna, which is what we're doing right now. One person is talking, other persons are listening, and that's very conducive to developing bhakti, love for Krishna. And activities in bhakti, you know, that's Krishna karma. It's beyond punya karma. It's beyond pap karma. It's punya karma. It's things that are with Krishna. And it's eternally with Krishna. You never lose that. Right? You can play out your bad karma. You can, the effects of your punya karma at some time will end. But whatever you've done for Krishna, for the pleasure of Krishna, under the direction of Krishna's pure devotee, that thing you'll never lose. It's always there. It's an indelible mark that can never be erased. It's with Krishna. He has one question over there. He had his hand up first, right in the back with a purple shirt. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Morning all. It's a follow-up to one of the nice things that you said, that when a child is born in a house, then it's just one of the many lives that it is. Right? I have a question. I mean, given that, you know, you have control and awareness of whatever is happening in this life and you can lead it responsibly, but what about the sufferings that we are going through because of the karma of the last life?
Yeah.
Are there any practical tips that you can give us as to how we can undo the negative effects of the last life and the karma?
Yes. I can give you the same tip that Lord Chaitanya has given, and that tip is Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram. Chanting the holy name of the Lord purely can relieve us of all the effects of previous sinful activities. That's the, in this age, that's the main method for becoming relieved from the reactions. If Chaitanya Charitamrita says, if you chant the holy name even one time, you become relieved from more sins than you're able to commit. The power of the holy name is so great. But there should be a quality to the chanting, and there's offenses to be considered when chanting the holy name. So we need to avoid offenses in chanting the holy name. And first of all, we should chant. Srila Prabhupada used to say that he is saying chant, 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 and we are saying can't, can't, can't. So we have to kick the T out of can't and make it can. We should chant and then work on the quality of our chanting, try to hear the names properly, and the reaction to all previous activities will be wiped out. Is that okay? Hare Krishna. Mike.
Hare.
What is the quality of spiritual study, nutrition, and the material study, nutrition?
Study of?
Study of spiritual study, nutrition. The study is the nutrition. Any type of study is the nutrition. The spiritual study is the nutrition, and the material study, nutrition. So what is the quality?
What is the quality?
Yes.
Well, there's different qualities of everything. There's first, second class, third class of everything. So in terms of study, you can read something for the sake of reading something. Or another quality of study is that you're reading something, studying something, with the idea that you have to explain it to someone else. So just reading it for your own information is one quality of study. But if you study something with the idea that you have to know it well enough that you can explain it to someone else, that's a different quality of study, and that's a deeper quality of study. Right? There's the practical application of a thing, and then there's the knowledge of a thing. It's called jnana and vijnana. We may have jnana that we're not this body, that we read from Bhagavad Gita that we're not this body. That's jnana. But then we still get tired. We still get hungry. Right? That's to do with the body. It's nothing to do with the soul. Right? But because the soul identifies with the body, although we may have knowledge that we're not their body, we don't have vijnan, the practical application of that knowledge. So there's different levels of knowledge. There's different levels of study. Just like there's different levels of chanting. You can chant Hare Krishna with offense, or you can chant Hare Krishna without offense. And you'll get two different results. Actually, there's three phases of chanting. There's chanting with offenses, and then there's chanting where the offenses are clearing off. It's called namabhas, right? Where the offenses are starting to clear off. We're becoming offenseless. And then there's offenseless chanting, pure chanting. So there's three phases.
Hare.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much for the class. Guruji, the way you are telling in the class that everything belongs to Krishna and it has to be offered to Krishna. But generally, if you see, traditionally, people, they also know that. And when we say that everything has Krishna's property, they say that yes, we also understand everything belongs to Krishna. And whatever I am doing now, that also I am doing it for Krishna only. So they do all material things and they are attached to also. But then for the sake of telling, they tell that yes, we know everything belongs to Krishna and I am doing it for Krishna only. So how to kind of come out of that misconception that he considers that I am doing already Krishna consciousness.
Dhritarashtra, he knew that Krishna was God. He knew Vasudev. But still he was attached to Duryodhana. So he couldn't, due to his attachments, even though he knew Vidura was giving him good instructions and was his well-wisher, still it was due to his attachments. But then Krishna arranged things in such a way that all of his attachments were destroyed. Right? And then Vidura came back from traveling, Prakrama, and he told Dhritarashtra, what are you doing here? You're living in the house of Bhima? He's throwing you scraps of food from the table? Your teeth are loose? You're coughing up mucus? You're just hanging out here? And that was an eye-opener for Dhritarashtra. What did he do? The very next day he left. He went to the forest. And he began to meditate on the Supreme, Vasudev. Isn't it? So those persons who you're talking about, you know, mostly people that live in India, they know that yes, everything belongs to Krishna. But yet still they're attached. And if they're very, very fortunate, along a devotee will come along and help them see their attachments and help them wake up to the falsity and misery of this material world so that they'll become serious about breaking those attachments by performing devotional service, chiefly through chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram. Is that okay? Any other questions?
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Prabhuji, the way you were telling about that dharma, artha, kama and moksha, so like one person whom I met while distributing books, he was telling me that it seems like also that the householder is fully obeying all the instructions written in Vedas, that we are doing dharma, and then after doing dharma, the way you explained that, you know, we get the necessities we get, the benefit we get, and then we enjoy also, and after enjoying, we get some realizations. So we'll eventually, as soon as we grow old, so we'll take moksha also, we'll get that also. So they have that conception actually. So how, as a devotee, you know, as a practicing devotee, how I can make it relevant that yes, you know, I am also in that only, you know, or how exactly to see this particular dharma, artha, kama and moksha as a practicing devotee?
How to see it as a practicing devotee? Huh? Well, first of all, you mentioned the persons outside, right? Outside devotional service, somebody you met, and they, you know, they're saying, look, we're doing dharma, and artha's coming, and we're engaged in kama, and we'll see, moksha will happen. Baad mein aayega, dekhega. Right? But what we see actually, if they're not progressive, right? Dharma, if they're not really performing the Dharma, they'll engage in vikarma. They won't be engaged in karma. Karma means the prescribed methods. And they won't be doing that. Because they're not actually following the prescribed methods of Dharma. They're, you know, going to Kentucky Fried Chicken and all these Domino's pizza, and right? They can't help themselves, you know. The children come, Daddy, 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 we want to go to Domino's, Daddy, we want... And because of his attachment, although he knows it's not right, Domino's means meat, the dead flesh of animals. That can't be Dharma. That's adharmic. So they may think, yeah, we're doing Dharma, and we're getting Artha and Kama, and we'll see Moksha later. But they'll never see Moksha. They'll only see the repeated birth and death in this material world. If they don't understand the urgency of doing something right now, they'll never get it later on also. So Srila Prabhupada said the urgent need for Krishna consciousness to perform activities of sacrifice right now is required just so that you can stay on the level of Dharma. Otherwise, very easily people slip down into adharma. And adharma means progress towards, again, an animal body, a lower species of life. And if they do that, then where's their dharma? Cats and dogs aren't following dharma. It's for the human beings. But in order to stay on the right trajectory, you have to be progressive. Just like here, it's in this verse, you have to perform the sacrifices, the panch shuna here it's described, or the panch maha yogyas. You have to perform those as a householder. You have to recognize, you know. But are people doing that? They're not doing that. Hare Krishna.
The desire to leave this material world, is it in the control of the soul or is it controlled by destiny?
What was that?
The desire to leave the material world, is it in the control of the soul to desire or is it the Lord's wish? Like, is it destiny or the wish of the soul?
Well, it's... Everything is under the control of the Supreme Lord. He's the Parameshwar, the Supreme Controller. But He gives the living entity some independence, minute independence. And if the living entity desires to serve the Lord, then he becomes under the control of the Lord. If the living entity desires to be independent of the Lord, then the Lord makes that arrangement also, this material world. So for the living entity who desires to get out of the material world, the Lord can also make that arrangement. Hare Krishna. Anything else? Yes?
Hare Krishna. Guruji, you were mentioning power of hearing scriptures creates detachment. And also in Bhagavad Gita it says fire of knowledge burns the reactions. But in practical life I see that sometimes we do some mistake or some knowingly or unknowingly wrong things. And then some reaction comes and that creates a better impression not to do such things in the future. So that creates more detachment than hearing. Then how to understand that hearing creating detachment?
That you have to hear from that person. If the person instructs you, don't do like this, do like that, that's also hearing. Right? Is it not? Hearing is still the basis of it. You're hearing from scripture, or you're hearing from the devotee who's explaining to you how to do something. right? But the, try and understand, even the practical experience something is based on what you heard. Your mother tells you, don't stick your hand in the fire. When I was a little kid, my mother was cleaning the stove. And you know, there's the pilot light. Not here in India so much, but then they have a small little light, so as soon as you turn the knob on the gas, the light goes on. It's called the pilot light. So there was a little plate there. She was cleaning, so she said, don't touch that. It's very hot. You'll burn yourself. So, not being able to appreciate that instruction, I touched the plate. And I got a big blister about this big on my finger. She had to take me to the doctor, right? So I learned, practically, you don't touch that thing. But it was based on hearing. I heard, but I didn't act. Then the practical experience helped me to conclude, oh yes, what I heard was right. I shouldn't touch that thing. You understand? But first class is that you hear and you act. Second class, you hear, you have to experience, then you act. And third class is, even though you hear, even though you experience, still you don't act. You don't get it. Third class. Right? So hearing is, it's not some ethereal thing. It's very practical. Everything else is based on it. First we hear. We hear. Yes, we may need, because we're not so qualified, practical experiences to confirm what we have heard. We may need that. But it's still based on hearing. It's the way I understand it. You have something else to add, Srinathji?
Hearing from.
Yeah.
Then it is easier for the listener to accept what he or she has said. If the person does not have faith on the listener, then it is very difficult to accept the theory, and then that person will be wanting a practical experience. So it's better to learn from somebody else's experience. That's, as you said, first class. But if you can't get the faith to accept what you hear, then it's better you experience it yourself.
Well, you will have to anyway. No choice. No choice. No choice. So yes, it's always better to have faith in the person that's giving you knowledge, so that you'll readily accept it with an openness that this is good for me and this is what I should do. And then, like you said, if you don't, then you have to have the next step. You have to experience it yourself. We see in the life of King Chitraketu, he wanted a son very badly, right? And he had a son, but the son died prematurely, and he was devastated. Narad Muni and Angir Rishi came, and they brought the soul back into the body. So King Chitraketu said, "Oh, my son, oh, my son." And the soul in the body said, "Well, which father are you? I've had many fathers. Which one are you? So Chitraketu all of a sudden got the realization about his attachment, unnecessary attachment. And he turned to Narada Muni and he said, well, why didn't you tell me before? And he said, well, I didn't tell you before because you wouldn't have been able to accept it. So sometimes life's practical experiences help us to understand what the real situation is. Right. Right. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Itai Gaur Premanande.